All right. So we're going to go ahead and turn it over to Rachel to get us started.
Awesome. Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for having me today on your call. I'm really excited today to share a little bit about kind of general about the Future of Work Initiative, as well as get into the Summit in a Box, which is a wonderful tool that, you all could be using in your local communities. And we've seen other local chambers use this. And Tiffany will talk a little bit more about that in a minute. So, kind of big picture, if you haven't, been on one of our chamber calls before or at one of our events, the Future of Work Initiative is really aims to unite the business community and education partners in solving some of our talent pipeline solutions we have across our state. Our work really aligns with our 2030 blueprint at the Florida Chamber Foundation, which I'm sure most of y'all are familiar with, but trying to become the 10th largest global economy by 2030. And specifically, the Future of Work Initiative is housed under the pillar that focuses on improving our talent pipeline. So the Future of Work Initiative is a partnership with the Florida Department of Education, and as well as several other partners such as CareerSource Florida. We work with my colleagues at the Division of Career and Adult Education and some other partners. And just for a quick background, I previously came from the Florida Department of Education, so I have a lot of connections with, some of the district and state college leaders across the state in CTE and adult education. And so what we're here to talk about today is one of the tools that is available for all of you in the state. And it's really customizable, which Tiffany will attest to in a minute. It's called Summit in a Box. So I'm going to put in the chat a link to the site that you can basically access this, and it's a toolkit. You put in your information, and then you can have access to basically setting up a mini summit. And so this, because of our partnership with the Florida Department of Education and CareerSource Florida, is ongoing. We at the chamber hold a solution summit nearly every month, and or a conference every month, and they're focused on the six pillars. And so what the Summit in a Box was designed to do was really provide you with all of the marketing and sample agenda and different templates, discussion templates, all that, to be able to implement this at the local level so you can bring workforce and education partners, community-based organizations, all the people that are involved with your pipelines, basically early learning through lifelong learning, to be able to have these critical conversations about what do we need to do in our region to be able to ensure people are prepared for these careers, but also aware of the careers. And so that link that I sent in the chat will really, open the doors to you can download. And I know when Tiffany talks in a minute, I just have to brag on them, because when I walked in to their summit in Jackson County, it was absolutely beautiful. The setup, they used all the branding, and it was just a really inviting place. And they did such a nice job of mixing up the speakers that were there and just kind of aligning, what is needed in that region to in utilizing this tool. So I'm happy to answer any questions, but I think that Tiffany would be a great person to kind of share how they brought this process to life. And I'm excited and would be thrilled to talk with any of you. I'm actually going down to Lake County in mid-November, actually next week maybe. And they're doing a workforce summit there following some of these same templates. So I'll pass it on to Tiffany, and then maybe we take questions afterward, if that's okay with y'all.
Absolutely. Give me just a second to get my screen. Hey, Rachel, talk for just a minute longer because I'm having an issue.
Yeah, I can share one more thing. Actually, I forgot to mention this earlier. One of the things that's we're sharing out a lot, and we have kind of a plan to roll out. We're just working out how we want to visualize it. And we did share this at Tiffany's summit, was the top 30 and 2030 high demand careers. So we're looking at forecasting on the statewide level, as well as workforce region level. So there's a lot of implications with career source funding as well in that, you know, down the line, but looking at how can we make people aware of what these high demand careers are for their workforce region. So we did have some conversations, and, you know, y'all are working sort of in the now of like, what are those high demand careers and what are those targeted local occupations, local targeted occupations lists, but also looking into the future since this is, you know, focused on future of work. So here we go. Tiffany, I think you're ready to roll.
All right, we're ready now. It did not take my password when I tried to log in. So just wanted to show you guys real quickly, once you create a login to the Summit in the Box site, it's real simple. The first thing that it's going to do is allow you to download a PDF document. It's about 16 pages. It's going to have sample agendas, emails for inviting people, a list of people who you should invite to this event. It's got some sample language and things in it, some kind of key messaging that you should be using, some sample social media posts. Also, it allows you to download, as you can see, there's a PowerPoint template, there's some signage. We did have a sign made that go on the podium that we used. We called our summit Chipola Region. So that's kind of really what I want to talk to you guys about first. You absolutely can do this as just your chamber and be successful. What we did is we partnered with four other chambers in what we call is the Chipola Region. So it is the 5-county footprint that is served by Chipola College. We were very successful in doing it that way. And that's really kind of what I recommend, since most of your CTE and workforce programs that you're familiar with are going to be coming out of your state college that is in the area that you're in. Within that, we invited the five CTE directors from the local high school systems and school districts to participate, as well as all the members from the chamber, government officials, and things of that nature. There are some videos, which I'm scrolling to down here in the bottom. Of course, social videos, but then some featured career videos that you can play during the summit to show different types of careers. All of us, of course, are going to have firefighter and paramedic. Not everybody's going to have a marine mechanic, but they may have an auto mechanic, line workers, pilots, etc. We actually did not use those videos as part of our summit. We had someone in our office that was able to go around and get video from graduates of our CTE programs. If you have the capacity to do that, or if you have like a high school program that does a lot of audio visuals, or if you have a college program that does some AV work as well, work with them to go around and film your graduates. Now, I'm going to pull up, I think I have to stop sharing and then share again, so apologies. So this is the planning document. And again, you guys are going to be able to download it and see it yourself. So I'm just going to go through and show you a couple of kind of key things here. So Rachel's already told you about Summit in a Box. Again, this is an initiative of Florida Chamber, Florida Department of Education, and Career Source Florida. It's actually been sent out to the CTE directors in the school system statewide. So it is possible that somebody in your CTE programs is already planning to do Summit in a Box. So once you make the decision to do it, you probably want to check in with them very quickly. I don't recommend that. I recommend that you take the lead as a chamber and do this. Chambers put together events all the time. We're the conveners in the community, and we're more than likely going to have much better access to the type of people that need to be at this event versus like your CTE director. I see Rachel is nodding in agreement there. So I don't think I'm speaking out of turn when I say that. So, you know, it's got some action steps here, real easy to follow. I'm getting to the agenda is what I'm trying to get to. Got some conversation starters in here. An event planning checklist. That's great for those of us who need help staying on task. Again, here is the list of people that they suggest that you invite to the event. So of course it's got local chamber at the top, but again, take the lead and do it yourself. Education foundations. Sometimes we forget about actually including those people. It's got LCANs, of course, but I felt like the people in the room who got the most benefit from being there really was our local government, our elected officials at the city and county level. We brought in Representative Shane Abbott, who is our new representative here in the Panhandle. And he has served on Northwest Florida College's state board, and education is a big passion of his. So he spoke during lunch and kind of gave the governor's priority that Florida become the number one workforce state in the nation by 2030. And that tied in well to everything that we discussed. So almost to the agenda, almost. Here we go. So this is just a sample agenda. And what I really want you guys to know is I didn't do it exactly like this. So don't feel like you have to follow everything to the letter of the law within this document to still have a Future of Florida Work Summit. We started our summit at 10 a.m. and went through 2 so that we could provide lunch in the middle. And we actually added in some additional panels. So where you see on the agenda, it has speaker Q&A or roundtable discussion. We replaced that with 2 different panels. We had a training panel where they kind of talked about their perspective on micro-credentialing and things of that nature. And then we had an employer panel. And the employer panel was really the highlight of the event. I picked 3 very different types of businesses, but their messaging was similar in that, you know, we're not even sending people for 2 years of college anymore. So when I started with the chamber 7 years ago, the message was, hey, we don't have to send kids to a 4-year college. They can go get an associate's and be successful. Well, now that messaging has changed to, hey, these kids can go get a micro credential in 1 semester and 1/3 of a semester and go right to work and make plenty of money. I have an HVAC employer that gave a really good example of he brings them on the job for about 4 weeks. Then he sends them to a weekend school in Alabama for HVAC. They come back and work for like another 6 weeks, and then he sends them back for some more training. So the point of the Future of Work Summit is to really get people's attention in your community and to really get that message out that, hey, things are changing and they're changing rapidly, and you've got to get on board with that. So I will show you my actual agenda and how I did things just to kind of give you an idea. Let's see. Now I have to hit the share button again to do that. My Zoom works a little different than everybody else's. We'll get into that another time. Okay. So again, you can see, you know, the logos of the other chambers that participated. We had some welcoming remarks, of course, and thanked everyone for being there. And then Rachel came in and did her Future of Work Florida presentation. And like she was saying earlier, she gives local level data in this presentation and really talks about what your, is it the top 20 or top 30 jobs that you're going to have? You're going to have to take yourself off mute for a sec.
Yeah, the top 30 in 2030 is the aim. Not all workforce regions have 30 that meet the criteria of being the median wage or above with the high growth total openings. But yeah, that's the goal. Top 30.
So I know it looks like it's early to have a networking break right after the first speaker. I really did that by design. I wanted them to immediately be able to get up and start talking about the information that they heard from Rachel. I knew that that was kind of going to be the longest and most in-depth information that they got through the day. Just as a little side note, we served RC Colas and Moon Pies during that networking break. So don't be afraid to do something simple. We don't all have to have charcuterie. Then after networking break and everybody came back in the room, we only had about 10 minutes where we heard from our Chipola workforce dean kind of talking about what their enrollment numbers look like in the types of programs that they're offering at Chipola. And that's really an eye-opening conversation in our community because we have a welding program that's over capacity, 50 plus students in it. And then we have a really great advanced manufacturing program that we have to beg to get students in. So that, you know, we're very honest about what's happening in our community and we're telling people, hey, like we have this great program. It's had a lot of money put into it to have, you know, some quality equipment and trainers that the students use, and we just can't get students in it. So what's going on there? And that's a conversation everyone needs to be a part of. Florida Ready to Work was next. Tiffany Voss. If you guys do not know Tiffany Voss, you are missing out. Florida Ready to Work is a free program that's actually created and set forth under statute. And there is a soft skills training component and an employability, like an academic employabilities component. And now there's a digital skills. And we're working very hard to get our high school seniors to have those three different credentials before they graduate. When they take the test and get the credential, it has the governor's signature on it. So it's a really kind of strong thing signaling to an employer, hey, these people have had this training and they are proficient in it. I know Tammy and I have talked to Tiffany, so she'll have a Florida Ready to Work conversation for you guys later to learn more about that. I already told you about the employer panel. Some of the conversation starter questions that are in that planning guide, we wove those into that paneled conversation to kind of get those taken care of. Again, I put a lot of thought into making sure, you know, I had someone from HVAC, I had someone from the lumber industry that is big here, and then I had someone from manufacturing. I know these three gentlemen well. One of them lives in my house. So I knew that they were going to get a very, very honest conversation from these employers. So I think it's important to have this panel and to give these guys an opportunity to really tell you from their perspective, hey, this is what I'm looking for in my employees. We make a lot of assumptions based on job descriptions that were written 25 years ago and not updated. And that's just not how they're making decisions now. Again, we provided lunch and Rep Abbott came and spoke on the governor's workforce education initiatives. After lunch, we heard from our training panel, and then we ended with talent pipeline management. Not all of you will have that on your agenda. That was just a short little segment that we did because our group had recently gone through the U.S. Chamber's talent pipeline management. Again, I've said it several times already, take this and make it what you can to fit your community. Work with the other chambers in your state college footprint if you have those relationships and as an option, because it just shows kind of more unity. I mean, ultimately, a lot of this falls on the state college to have the right workforce programs in place for the future. And so that's kind of how we made our decisions. But with that, Rachel, is there anything you think that I have missed or we need to add to this?
Yeah, I mean, I think I echo, you know, having Tiffany Voss there, that was like really obvious to me that everybody in the room was kind of, that generated a lot of discussion about like what those employability skills look like and how we all need to work to help our younger learners, you know, be equipped with those skills. That was an interesting conversation. I think there's a lot of opportunity, you know, to tweak and make this your own. So I think it's awesome. It's a wonderful opportunity to really bring people together, and it works, you know, with your unique region. So there are specific, you know, careers that are better suited for other regions. You could also look at like what are some sister communities, you know, if you're an urban area, what are some similarities with others? And I think that'd be interesting to kind of I would be happy to share those top 30 and 2030 careers lists with you and kind of really think about what we've seen is like people using this and saying like, what do we have really strong programs in that align with these? And then what are we like, what's not even on our radar yet? And like, what do we need to do to think about that? So I thought that was cool. But y'all did a really great job. And, you know, if you know the folks in the Chipola region, it's a tight-knit group. So I think the leadership is really strong there. And, you know, everywhere is different. So.
All right. Well, Tammy, you want to get us started with some questions, or is there anything that you want to add?
Well, you know, in the chamber world, we have so many acronyms. And maybe some of the people on the call might not know. You touched briefly on the talent pipeline management. Do you want to just give just a little quick synopsis of that in case people are on the call that aren't familiar or don't know what that is?
Hey, Corey Melton, you got your camera on? I see that you're in the chat. I know you're here. Corey, take yourself off camera and help me with this, please. Thank you so much.
Sorry, I meant to put it on and I put it off. While you're talking, I'm gonna find the website and put it up there for them.
Okay. So, talent pipeline management is something that the U.S. Chamber created. It's an academy. We started last December and then finished in May of this year. But basically, what it says is that employers should come together and they should be determining what their talent needs are. And they should be leading the conversation. So, chambers, as representatives of employers, kind of play the role of a host organization. They start pulling employers together, typically by industry. So, like Corey has a healthcare collaborative, I'm working on a manufacturing collaborative. And you spend time with these people surveying them and start recognizing their needs. And then you kind of bring your workforce and training partners to the table because in the past, you know, education was the one that really determined what offerings for training were going to be. And we've, you know, come to a point in time where we can't do that any longer. Corey, can you tell them your CNA story? Because it really is one of my favorites.
Oh, absolutely. And I think a lot of people, when they first hear about TPM, they're like, oh, we're doing that. And once you really get into the guts of it, as Tiffany said, and she kind of breezed over it a little bit, is it's very, very data driven. So the little surveys are very detailed. And I'm about to tell you a story that shows what happens when you have that real data from your employer. So this was actually a year ago. We were working with our healthcare employers. So we bring them together as a group. And those of you with multiple hospital systems, especially know how competitive that can be. But you get them in the room and start talking about what their needs are. And what you're looking for are those collective pain points that they all share. And for us, it was like their biggest focus was medical assistance. So CMA, Certified Medical Assistants. They weren't able to bring doctors into the region because they didn't have enough support staff. So there were other two that we were looking at. There were three or four positions. So in the survey, what we get from them in the first survey is just their initial projections over the next 1 or 2 years of what they think they're going to need. And I will tell you that if you look at that same data from now Florida Commerce or Department of Economic Opportunity, it told us that we needed like 25 or 30 CMAs. So not one of your high needs according to, you know, their criteria. However, when we surveyed our employers, they said 250 in the next year. Significantly different. And for those of you who know about healthcare, because they always need CMAs. So they're not always advertising them at the extent that they really need them, which makes the data from the state or from the Department of Labor that's based on job postings inaccurate. So our own employers, and this wasn't even all of them, The 11 or 12 that took the survey, just in that group, needed 250. Well, taking that information, we went to our technical college, our community college, and one of the private colleges here that offers the same training. So Lively Technical College went to DOE and got a waiver so that they could cut the course hours almost in half. I forget the exact numbers, but I think it was like 1350 and they got it down to 765 hours. It was just enough that the students could still qualify for Pell, but it cut their program so that they could be out and working sooner. The community college got a grant to offer 10 different cohorts of the quick credential for CMAs. And even our private university said, you know what, our CMA program is an AA program, but what we'll do is we'll front load all the CMA courses so they can start working while they're finishing their gen ed. So, I mean, that is just one little story of one little piece of data that wasn't that difficult to get, but it's not happening. You know, the schools will individually have advisory councils, if you will, but they only meet once or twice a year and they don't dig deep into the data. And that projections is just the first piece of data we start collecting. It gets much more specific after that. But when you're having that real data from your employers, now you see how all the schools were able to take it and do something with it, as opposed to the employers having to go to TCC and then also to Lively and then also to Kaiser. It really organized the employers and made it easier for them to voice what they need. And it gets them talking on the same, you know, a lot of it is having that same common language about what they need, because what one hospital calls it, another hospital is going to call it something else. And that just makes it more difficult for our educators to really boil it down to, you know, here's the nuts and bolts of what our employers need. So that's just one example. There are many, but anyway, so that's my story.
Thank you, Corey. I get excited every time I hear that. All right, Tammy, we'll toss back to you. Any questions?
Any other questions? I know somebody has to have a question now. Come on, don't be so shy. Just feel free to unmute and ask your question. Nancy, are you coming on for a question there?
Yeah. So, all right. I was wondering then, when you did it with all the chambers together, did you charge for people to come, or did you do sponsorship type of things, or was it just really covering the cost, and how did you guys organize that?
We did not charge. Kind of what I did, since I'm the big brother of the five counties, is I got all the sponsorships and made it easier for the smaller counties, because those chambers are like staffs of one, and in some cases like a volunteer person. So you'll know your area much better than I would. But I did about $5,000 in sponsorship. So I kind of treated it like it was a power lunch on steroids. And so I did $5,000 in sponsorships, and I actually made money on it. And so that's kind of put in a different pot for some of our other workforce initiatives that we're working on. And we did not charge anybody to come. And part of the reason we don't anyway, like we don't charge people to come to our power lunches, because we're a small chamber. I know, again, you'll know what works best for your chamber. And in this situation, it was very important to me that we didn't charge people to come, because we wanted as many people as possible to hear this message. And we knew inviting people from school districts, you know, that they have purchase policies about all of this stuff, that it could have gotten a little complex if they had to buy a ticket. So for us, we went to our utilities, and some of our local banks had no problem getting sponsorships. People got on board pretty quickly. So I probably made like $3,500 off of it, because, you know, it doesn't cost us that much for lunch. We have an arrangement with our hospital, who actually has fantastic food for a hospital. We have one of those. So yes, I would think about that. Like, think about, how you build out your sponsor levels. I think our highest sponsorship level was like $1,500. And I can share with you guys, I'll send Tammy some stuff that maybe she can email out or kind of throw on a drive somewhere. Yeah. But then the two utilities both did $1,500 a piece. And what we did is we played a little commercial for them when we started the summit, like a little 30-second commercial was kind of in addition to, you know, having a reserve table. So it's really one of the easiest events that I've done because of having, you know, that all the pieces built out already.
Thank you.
Well, and you mentioned that you changed the time frame so you could have lunch, but the original agenda does not include lunch, it looks like. So you have flexibility to do whatever works with your budget, it looks like.
Yep. Yeah. And it was not on my agenda, but after we finished TPM, you could just kind of feel this buzz in the room. You could hear people still talking to each other. So I took like 15 minutes and passed a mic around the room and said, you know, anybody that wants to share their takeaway from this event, take the mic and say what you got to say quickly and pass it to the next person. And that's what Rachel's talking about. Like when we got to the end and we asked our participants to share their takeaways with us, a lot of it revolved around Florida Ready to Work and like, hey, that is the next step before we get them in these workforce programs. And what can we do to get the school system to buy in and start making Florida Ready to Work a requirement for graduation, or just, you know, how many kids can we get with at least their soft skills credential? I was able to receive a grant from ACCE, and that is an economic mobility and rural workers grant. So besides working to get Florida Ready to Work in our school system and in our private schools here, I'm actually next step working with the probation offices here to kind of, you know, when people are coming off probation or they're just reentering, because Rachel and I have had some conversations quite a bit about recidivism and second chance hiring, you know, we're making a push of not only do we want to see current people in our, like our current 9th through 12th graders working on this before they graduate, anybody that's in the workforce, we're working with employers. We host an HR group where we kind of push them to start making this part of their internal training. And then we're also, again, hitting it through like the prison system. You know, I don't work in the actual prison system a whole lot as far as like state and federal, because most of those inmates, when they leave here, they're not returning here. Their home is somewhere else. But like county jail, county probation, people that have had some situations like that, we're working to help them get these credentials because, again, for someone in a situation like that to feel that sense of completion and then have a credential that the governor has signed, I mean, that really could make a difference in their life and their future employment. So there's a lot of workforce things going on. Corey and I, as you can tell, know each other well from TPM, but we hosted the workforce panel that Tammy had at conference back in early September. So, you know, especially if in your chamber you're not doing a lot with workforce yet, the Future Florida Summit is a great way to kind of kick that off and take ownership of that process and start your work in that area.
It sure looks that way. It seemed very simple and straightforward. So I think that as chamber leaders, we have so many different plates in the air. It's nice to have something handed to you as a template that you can just pick up and customize and make it your own. So how about other questions? Anybody?
I see that Joey kind of asked the same question about sponsorships, and he asked about cost. My only cost was having some signage and banners printed. I did have that agenda that I put up on the screen earlier. We had that printed on a nice cardstock on the table. And then we provided the lunch and the food during breaks. So again, ballpark, probably $5,000 in sponsorship, $1,500 in cost.
That's a great event for a small event and having all of the information template given to you. So that's great. And you provided a wonderful service. So, and you made money. Can't lose, right?
You have money to go into some of these other efforts. Heather's asking how I chose panelists. For the training panel, that was pretty easy. I had my director of Career Source moderate the panel. Then I had my high school CTE director on the panel, my college workforce dean. And then we have a tech school here that's just outside of Jackson County. But again, because we were focused on a 5-county region, it didn't matter. And we had the director of the tech school on the panel. So the training panel is pretty easy. It's going to be your CTE directors from the K-12 and this college system and your Career Source person. We also had on that training panel, we have an autism transition academy here called Next Steps at Endeavor. And we really wanted to make sure we were talking about opportunity populations in this conversation. Corey and I have had that conversation a lot in our TPM, but, so Tammy Dasher, who leads Next Step at Endeavor Academy, also participated on that panel. If you have an LCAN, in your community, I do not have an LCAN, but like if you have an LCAN in your community, that would be a great person to probably put on the training panel. But employer panel, you want people who are really going to be honest. This is not the time to shy away from problems. This is the time to put those problems out in a format that is very, you know, we want to keep it professional, but we want to keep it, you know, just almost brutally honest to a degree. So that's how I picked my employers. Again, my fiance was one of them, so I knew how honest he was going to be. Tom Myers is the VP of people for Rex Lumber, and Rex is originally here in my home county. This is their home base, but they're now in Mississippi and Alabama. And he talked a lot about working with millennials. And I mean, really, we should be over that conversation because now we have other generations in the workforce. So we really should not be continuing to harp on millennials. I call myself a geriatric millennial because I'm 1981. So I'm right on the cusp of the generation. But Tom did a great job of talking about how they realized if they were going to keep a workforce, that they were going to have to adjust their way that they worked and talked to those employees. So they have made the investment to bring people in and completely like retrain their supervisors company-wide. So it was good to hear from a company that was saying, hey, we recognize we can't keep just ignoring this. Like, we're going to have to put our money where our mouth is. So you know who your employers are in your area. You can pick by industry. Like if you want to have, you know, 3 or 4 employers from your top 4 industries represented, or you can do like I did and just know this person's going to tell a great story and this person's going to be real honest and pick them like that. So
anybody else? And thank you, Corey, for telling us what the LCAN was. I saw that on the slide earlier, but just in case somebody missed the explanation for that acronym, thank you.
Sorry, it's the old military person in me. We love an acronym.
All good. It's all good.
Corey, you or Rachel might have to help me with this because, again, I don't have an LCAN, but a local college access network really exists to kind of get opportunity populations and others access to some level of college. Is that the most simple way to explain it? It's usually maybe have like a director that leads the LCAN and then a board.
I would say the LCAN's, you know, it's a collective impact. So it's really the group of organizations that are working in that space. I always kind of like to describe it as the Venn diagram. You're looking for that spot where your work overlaps, where you can support each other and do better things. But the focus is the Sail to 60. So getting 60% of working age adults to have some kind of education past high school. So certainly looking at our opportunity populations, looking at our adults who might need to return to get some further education, but really looking at that attainment rate. But it kind of runs the gamut. They're like chambers. They all have a little bit of a different focus. Some will focus more on the high school side. Some will focus on community college, technical college, you know, returning adults. But it's really the group of organizations that come together who have, you know, their toe in the water.
Thank you. About other questions, Janet, you've been awfully quiet and you always have good questions. Not to put you on the spot, but you always have good questions.
No, I'm just really delighted to hear all this information. And just, Tiffany, I'm so impressed by you and the things that you do. And to me, it's just, it's so much about coordination and bringing people together and putting our volunteers out there first, which I think is just fabulous. And Rachel, to know that all that information is there and ready for us, because you know chambers are so incredibly busy that it's amazing. But the fact that you can customize it and put it out there and work on it is really just, I think this is fabulous information. I don't have any questions. I'm so overwhelmed. I'm like trying to process a lot.
Thank you. I can add something that I appreciate. You know, I have like right here, like the booklet, the printed off booklet, that's the agenda. But, you know, so looking at it and saying like, okay, visualizing how it's going to look. And then when I saw it for the first time with Tiffany's group, it was nice, just like the funnel of like starting with big picture in the state and then using like, you know, our floridascorecard.org tool to like really localize the data. You can get, you know, the sale to 60 information. So like, what's the credential rate for, you know, by county. And then like what I did with, you know, their region, because they did the Chipola region, there were five counties, I believe, Tiffany, you can correct me, but like I pulled the data from their five counties and side by side compared, you know, like this is the credential rate, or this is the high school graduation rate, or whatever data point you want to take. But it's cool because the scorecard really like allows you to tell a story that's interesting and like really relevant. So it's like, you kind of start like, this is where we want to go as a state, you know, and that's the chamber can do that. And then also drill down and then leading into the conversation of like, okay, now these are what, you know, the folks on the ground are seeing. I do think it's, I mean, you know, reach out to me if you're interested, and I can even talk you through. Tiffany would be happy to do it as well. Variations of it. Cause now we're kind of seeing a ripple effect, and people are like, oh, I want to do this, I want to try this. And I think everybody's like, well, we'll see how it goes. But it's been pretty successful, I think, for those who have taken the reins.
Awesome. Anybody else? So they can reach out to you, Rachel, if they want specifics for their community to see. Perfect. Good. Because I think that's where a lot of people are like, I'm not quite sure. I know you gave me this great outline, but now what's the information from my area? So,
hey, perfect. Rachel, besides us, who else has done Summit in a Box that you're aware of?
Well, I believe Tallahassee, Corey, you can correct me, but I think Chancellor O'Farrell did kind of probably the big picture stuff at the Tallahassee one. And I wasn't at that one, but Lake County is doing one coming up. And then I feel like there was one more, but I can't remember. But I know that Lake County's is, they're doing 9 to noon. And their agenda looks a little bit different. Mark is actually able to do it. And I'm sitting on a panel for that one. So you can kind of, you know, vary it. It just depends on, Mark will probably with his schedule have me be doing a lot of them now, but this one specifically he was able to, and they reached out a while ago. So
if you get a second, Rachel, if you'll send me the dates for that one, I'll share that, because maybe if it's close enough, some people might want to pop over and see how that works.
It's November 9th.
November 9th. Okay. Yep.
But I think, Corey, didn't you tell me you're actually planning to do more? You're planning to do this, right?
I mean, yes, I think we're going to do kind of a variation of it, because we've kind of already started some of the work with CTE. So it doesn't need to be, I don't know, we're trying to figure out exactly what our take on it's going to be, but definitely looking to do one probably before the end of the year, but both in the first quarter of next year.
The end of the year will be upon us before we know it, right? Anybody else have questions? I don't see any. Well, having said that, I learned a lot today, and I thank you, Tiffany and Rachel, for being with us, and Corey, of course, for popping all that helpful information in the chat for us. If no one has any other questions, I think we will adjourn. It's been 10 minutes to 11, so we're a little bit ahead of schedule, which is always a good thing. Give you back 10 minutes of your day. So thank you everybody for being with us. And again, thank you, Rachel and Tiffany. You guys have a great rest of your week.
Bye guys. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.